listening to the WHO podcast. My name is Veronica Rima, and this is episode 39. In this episode, WHO staff return to work in Iraq, and a new WHO report confirms more people have access to safe drinking water. After an absence of 5 years, WHO's international staff have returned to Iraq to re-establish a permanent base. Foreign staff were withdrawn from Iraq after terrorists attacked the UN compound in Baghdad in August 2003, killing 22 people and wounding over 100. While 100 Iraqi staff remained, the international staff members were relocated to neighbouring Jordan and shuttled to Iraq to support the Iraqi government as needs arose. Over the past 5 years, international professionals continued to respond to public health emergencies, such as controlling avian influenza and cholera outbreaks, and advising the government on the health system reform. Now the government of Iraq will have greater support to respond to humanitarian crises and ensure that the people have access to the essential health care. Dr. Naima Al-Ghassir is the WHO country representative to Iraq, and one of the first to return to Baghdad. She explained that improvements in the security situation have helped make this possible. We caught up with her to talk about her next steps.
In areas that we are looking at is public health threats, that is controlling of outbreaks such as cholera or typhoid, but also life-saving, that is the how to handle the impact of the violence of the people, the psychosocial mental health, and the impact on the economy of the country because of the psychosocial and mental health problems inside Iraq. What our plan is to continue the support to implement the strategy to eliminate malaria from Iraq, and the plan is by 2010. Also looking at the very closely assisting the immediate service delivery.
Reducing the burden of chronic disease is one of WHO's priorities in Iraq. The country is going through a transition with almost half the causes of death being due to cardiovascular diseases, linked to smoking, unhealthy diet and physical inactivity. The National Smoking Control Committee reports that the prevalence of smoking is 40% among males and 5% among females above 16 years of age. Dr. Eric LaRoche, WHO's Assistant Director General for Health Action in Crisis, explains.
It is quite surprising to see that there are so many needs, that Iraq is also going towards a kind of transition in terms of a pattern of diseases. And when you look at the type of disease that we have now, they are much more related to non-communicable diseases. If you see the rate of smoking tobacco, you can see that many of these diseases are related to stress, I mean the global stress in Iraq. And I think we need to highlight that. I think it is as important to fight against communicable diseases for kids as it is important to fight for all stress-generated type of diseases among adults.
More than 2.5 billion people worldwide do not have access to clean water, sanitation and hygiene, according to a new report issued last week by the WHO-UNICEF Joint Monitoring Programme for Water Supply and Sanitation. However, the good news is that the number of people who have access to safe drinking water has risen for the first time since data were first compiled in 1990. 87% of the world's population now has access to clean water, and this is set to rise to more than 90% by 2015. More and more people are now also using improved sanitation facilities. That is, facilities that ensure human excreta are disposed of in a way that prevents them from causing disease by contaminating food and water sources. Jacqueline Sims from WHO's Department of Public Health and Environment came into the studio to tell us why improving access to drinking water and sanitation is so crucial for good health.
Water and sanitation is one of the fundamental underpinnings and rationales for the diarrheal disease proportions in the world being so high. Water and sanitation was the underlying reason that we beat cholera, diarrheal disease, and all those types of diseases in Europe in many, many centuries ago. And we're going to be looking at the same pattern in the developing world, where currently 1.8 million people die every year from diarrheal disease. Now, 90% of those diarrheal deaths are in children under five, which is pretty shameful. And it's not surprising that 1.2 billion people worldwide have no sanitation facilities at all and have to defecate in the open. It's hardly surprising that these diarrheal deaths remain so high.
We asked Jacqueline what was preventing the sanitation sector from developing properly and why so many people are still not served.
Funding in the sanitation sector is very sparse, not always well allocated. So that also is aggravated by the fact that of the limited funds that go to both water and sanitation, the lion's share often goes to water, leaving very little for sanitation. Another reason is that population growth is still a problem in many countries where water and sanitation problems are greatest. So this means that although population growth is in fact slowly tailing off at global level, in many of the countries with the greatest problems, the population is still growing fast. And this has the effect of masking the efforts that many countries are making. So governments might in fact be doing very well in providing water and sanitation services to lots of people, but you don't see it because the overall number of people in that country goes up faster than the services are being provided.
That's all for this episode of the WHO podcast. Thanks for listening. If you have any comments on our podcast or have any suggestions for future health topics, drop us a line. Our email address is podcast@who.int. For the World Health Organization, this is Veronica Rima in Geneva.